It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? I'd like to welcome you to the program today and hope that you enjoy the study. We're in the book of Philippians. We're going to be reading from the 9th through the 16th verse of chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 16. And I'd like for you to open your Bibles and follow along with me. While you're doing that, I'll share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'd love for you to come and visit. Love for you to drop us a note or a card. We do hear from folks, and I love to hear from you, that you enjoy the program, that you know the Lord Jesus. Maybe you need help to understand how to be saved. Anything that we could help you with, I would love to. So please, that you would write us a note. Again, Parkview Bible Church, Hamilton, Illinois, 18th and Church Street, and we'll sure love to hear from you. If any time that you would like to have the program, possibly we do tape each program, and so if you would like to have a copy of it or something, like to hear, listen to it again, we'd be glad to send that to you as well. So anything that we can help you with, we'd love to, and again, so that we can come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. Now that you've had a moment to open your Bibles, I'd love for you to follow along as we read today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, the things in heaven, the things in earth, and the things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study today. Father, I ask you that you would just direct us so and lead us in the direction you want us to be, the place you want us to be, the things you want us to say, to be in the church we need to be in, to listen to your will and way and be obedient, Father, to do what you ask us to do. Father, there's so much out there today in so many different directions, and it's so easy for people to get their eyes off of you, Lord Jesus, and onto somebody or something. And I ask, Lord, that you will just help each one of us to keep our eyes up on you, upon the Lord Jesus, that we may have the power and the strength of God to take out and proclaim your word and do the work that you set for each one of us to do, knowing that that work is much different from one person to another. Father, you've called me to preach. You may have called another to teach. You may have called another in many different areas, called to go to the mission field or the work that's around the local church, Father. Please, we know you've given us the local church. We don't hear much about that anymore, Father, that local church is yours and it's set aside for your use. And I ask that people begin to take it seriously and look at the local church and find a place that preaches the precious word and stands upon the truth. Please, Lord, guide and lead us now as we study your word and give us great wisdom and give us godly patience to understand and wait upon you, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I do love studying the word, and we have enjoyed now for a couple of weeks the 9th, 10th, and 11th verse. We're not going to spend much time today on it, but I did want to read it before we started into the 12th verse. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, the things in heaven, the things in earth, and the things under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's my request, that's my prayer, that's a burden of my heart, that each and every person, and not wait till it's too late, not wait till till the life to come after this life, and decide at that time that yes, I think now that Jesus must have been the way to go. It's going to be too late. Please, that you would search after, watch after, and set your eyes to serving Jesus Christ. Come to know the Lord Jesus right now. I ask that you would find him at the cross. You'll notice that there's never a time that we come together that I don't talk about the cross of Calvary and the need to be saved. The need to let that Holy Spirit touch your heart and move you and have you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Please that you trust in Jesus today. And I want you to do that because it's the only way. There's no other way to come and to be saved and have your sins forgiven and spend eternity in the presence of the Lord. There's two places that you're going to spend eternity. Either you're going to spend eternity in heaven, in the presence and in the rejoicing of the Lord Jesus, and the presence of God the Father and the Holy Spirit, or you're going to spend eternity in the fires of hell. And that's the two choices. Now, you can argue all day long and discuss all day long that there are many religions out there. There are many different ways to go. And you can argue if you want to, but there are no other directions other than to heaven or to hell. And if you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, is the only way that you can go to heaven. It's the only way that you can get your heart right with God if you'll come to the Lord Jesus. Now, there's many things that go in our lives as a Christian. Number one is to meet Jesus at the cross of Calvary and become a child of God. Know the Lord Jesus. We're going to go back to John chapter 3 here in just a little bit and read a lot of that chapter. So you can see the discussion that was going on between Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus himself. And we never need to stop and should never stop preaching the gospel, telling people about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Jesus has not only died on the cross of Calvary that our sins have been forgiven, and if we come by faith to him, we are saved, we have received salvation, the free gift of salvation. But also, if we come and trust in the Lord Jesus, and we've been saved, then he gives us the power and the strength to walk each day, to live that salvation out, not to keep it. In other words, we're not working out. And this scripture verse here may have puzzled you just a little bit. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And a lot of people confuse that we must follow the Lord in works in order to keep our salvation, to keep our gift of eternal life that the Lord Jesus has given us. No, we're saved by grace. And we need to understand that there is a work, and that work will be done as we work out. There are three really words that this word salvation is used in. One is to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. It's the grace of God that saves us. And so we have salvation through the Lord Jesus. It's a free gift that's given. We are saved. We've bought our place in heaven. Our sins are forgiven. Okay, then we are working out our salvation because I want to be like the Lord Jesus. I study his word. I spend time in prayer. I love his local church and coming together with his local church, with the body of believers to study his word and come together. He gives us the local church for that purpose and that reason, that I may work out my salvation. And also, he has saved me because I know that there's going to be a time that I'm going to spend eternity with him. And so I was saved the day I met Jesus. I am being saved because he's working me through to be more like Jesus. Been bought and paid for by the blood. But he is working on my life, changing my life to make me more like the Lord Jesus every day. Some people, I believe, think that the minute they were saved, they got everything that they needed and they are everything they need to be. And I'll tell you what, all that is a self-righteous attitude, and people need to change your heart and change your mind and get their heart right with the Lord Jesus, because God's got a work in my life to do. And I love watching him do it. Sometimes I become a little impatient because it seems like that I can slip back into the ways of the world so quickly. And I ask him to strengthen me and to guide and lead me. Or somebody can remind you that you've slipped back to the world, and I praise people and thank people that they have the guts to come and say, Larry, you need to look back to the Word. I'm not sure you're following after the Lord Jesus. A lot of people think since a preacher is a preacher, he never misses the Lord. He never sins. He never does anything like that, and that's a lie. We do just like you do. We need the help and the guidance and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We need to be reminded by the Holy Spirit and His precious Word, and also loving, caring believers to bring us back to the Word of God so that we'll get our eyes back upon You, Lord Jesus, so we can walk with You. It says here in the, but this confessing of the tongue, my friend, that please do that before it's too late. Please come to Jesus. I've spent more time kind of talking about things there, but I want you to understand that it's so important to come to Jesus and be saved. And I've kind of given you a little bit of summary of what we're going to talk about today. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. You know, we have a lot of verses of Scripture here, and I'd like to share those with you. And we're going to go into John chapter 15, verse 14, first of all. It tells us here, John 15:14, ye are my friends if ye do whatever I command you. Now, you know, a lot of times it's so difficult for a person to see, to understand, and to know that a person is a Christian. Their language doesn't tell us much about that they're a follower of Jesus Christ. Their church attendance many times doesn't show us much that they're a follower of Jesus Christ. Their lifestyle doesn't show us many times that they are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many things do not tell us, do not explain to us, do not show us that they've been blood-bought. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for them, and they came by faith and were saved. And it's so sad that their life does not show that. Their life does not reflect that, and it should. Because once we come to know Jesus, there is a work in our life that has started. And that work is to work out our salvation. Again, please don't misunderstand me. That I am teaching, or that you have understood, that a person needs to continue to work to keep their home in heaven, to keep their sins forgiven, so to speak. In God's eyes, my sins were totally and completely wiped clean and taken away the day I met Jesus Christ. And that day was well over 20 years ago when I met Jesus Christ. And I got down on my knees and I said, Jesus, would you please come into my heart and save me? And He did. He has been in my life and in the presence of my life ever since. And at that time, my sins were forgiven. When God looks at my life, He sees someone that is perfect. I repeat that now. When God looks, God the Father looks at my life, He sees someone that is perfect. And the reason that I appear to be perfect and imperfect in God's eyes is because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have come by faith to the Lord Jesus and been saved. And when I was saved, my sins were bought and paid for completely by Jesus Christ. And because I have been bought and paid for, and I have accepted that free gift of salvation, now does everything in the Father's eyes appears and is true that my sins are forgiven because Jesus has taken care of it. Now, it's hard for folks to understand because I do continue to sin. I continue to make mistakes. I continue to mess up. But that's where the work comes in. Jesus says, I bought and paid for you. Now here you go. Hands us a free gift of salvation. Now what are you going to do about that? Are you going to accept that free gift? Claim to everyone that you're saved. I got an awful lot of folks that say they're going to be at church and then never show. A lot of folks come on Sunday morning, never come on Sunday night or Wednesday night. They believe that Sunday morning is enough. You know, I don't think they really understand what Jesus has done for them. It's my responsibility to show folks how much Jesus loved them. Sometimes I think people don't, after being saved for a while, they don't think that they were such bad sinners. You know, they've kind of set a level of how bad that they were. And I'm not too bad. And it seems like that they tend to serve God in a level of how bad they might have been. Sometimes when a person was a drunkard and was a thief and committed all kinds of sin that the world looks at as being terrible, and that person gets saved, and a lot of times their life totally changes. They walk completely away from those things. Well, a person that is like myself now, I've always lived a good life. I was taught at home a very high moral standard, and I lived up to that standard. I was not taught of Jesus Christ. I was not taught of the need to be saved, but I was taught to be good. I was taught what was right and wrong, and I've always thanked the Lord for my parents. I've always praised the Lord for them because they taught me what was right and wrong. I do wish they'd brought Jesus to me. I'm very thankful that someone did, but I wish it had been my folks. Because it's so important that parents look to their children as those children need Jesus Christ. But first of all, parent, you need to see that you need Jesus. And you need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus so you can be saved and walk after them. Once you've done that, then the work begins. We've been bought and paid for by the blood. Everything is finished as far as God the Father is concerned. But now, what are we going to do with that life? What are we going to do with the life? And once again here in John 15:14, ye are my friends if ye do whatever I command you. Now, there becomes a time of a question of fellowship here. Yes, we're saved, blood bought, but there's a question of fellowship. And I want you to understand, and I know it to be true because I have lived that, and that is the closer you walk to the Lord Jesus, the more you surrender your will and your way to Jesus, the one that's bought and paid for you, the more fellowship that you'll have with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The closer we search His Word, the more He begins to change your life and take that dirt and that filth away from it and move you away from it. I injured my hand here a few days ago, and I go to the hospital, and they put it in a whirlpool. And in that whirlpool, then, they let that on for about 30 minutes. And in that whirlpool, as I put the fingers down into the jets, it cleans all the old skin and all the impurities away. Really, really roughs them up. And it doesn't feel real comfortable as it does that. But when I pull them out of that whirlpool, and they're all clean and they're beginning to heal. Now, you know, if we could understand that the Word of God, sometimes when we study it, doesn't feel good to us. And so that's the reason that you go to a church many times that you go with a lot of activities. The children are drawn to a lot of activities, and parents, you're drawn to take your children to places that have a lot of activities. And yet they have left, they have compromised the truth, the Word of God, maybe even different than you believe. But you're willing to suffer the consequences and not stand upon the truth, the Word of God, so that you can entertain your children or you yourself be entertained. I'm asking you to get back to the Word of God. Forget the entertainment. Let that Word convict your heart. And again, I know how that feels against my fingers when it feels there and penetrates that. It doesn't feel very good. There's a lot of times it hurts. But you know, as it's pulling away things that can't be there, impurities and things that will hamper, and they tell me that's even going to the finger will be deformed if I don't take care of it correctly. It'll be scarred very badly if I'm not careful. Well, you know, this old life scars us, and as we receive the scars of this life, instead of letting God open that wound up a little bit and do the cleansing and the purifying so that we can begin to walk after the Lord Jesus with a clear heart and a clear conscience, not something that's all knotted up and something that's ugly to look at. God's making something that's wonderful. God's producing something that's beautiful in our life. But we need to surrender to Him to do that. And that's this work here. And I want you to be a friend of God so that you can have the fellowship and the love that He has to give you. Now, if you're out of sorts right now, it's because you're out of God's will. And I'm talking to believers. I'm talking to folks that are saved. Now, if you're not saved, you don't even know what I'm talking about. This cleansing, all these things. They don't take place until the day you meet Jesus. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to lead a young man to the Lord. And there were some folks that had brought that young man to church, and they didn't seem capable, or they didn't seem able to tell these people and to tell this person about Jesus, to win them over to the Lord Jesus. And the reason for it was is because they continued to argue religion, trying to answer every question that this young man had. You know what the problem was? I wasn't capable of answering every question this young man had. But I was capable of telling him that Jesus loved him, Jesus died for him, and if he would come by faith to Jesus and be saved, he can feel the power and the presence, and he can hold with the wisdom of God, but first you must take care of that sin. And I praise God he did. But isn't it sad that some folks are so smart that they try to answer all the problems and correct everything before they come to Jesus? Well, sometimes they hold on to those same ways after they're saved. And they think that I can take care of all this. The only one that can take care of the problems you have is the Holy Spirit to deal with your heart, move you closer to the Lord Jesus, cleanse that wound, and get you right with Jesus so that there can be fellowship there. You know, as we go back to John chapter 3, because when we look at this, it's a very common verse of Scripture. We have here, wherefore, my beloved, I'm back in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Before you can do that, you've got to understand that you need to know the Lord Jesus. Nicodemus came with a question. He had a lot of questions of Jesus. We find in John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I ask you to listen very carefully as I read these verses of Scripture. Verse 4, John chapter 3, verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, except a man be born. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows, and where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but ye cannot tell where it comes, or whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever can believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I love these verses of Scripture. When I look at Philippians and the verses above that, and it tells us that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and in the heavens and the things in the earth and the things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why would one person want to live and face eternity without coming by faith to Jesus? Nicodemus come with this question, and he said, I don't understand. And God says, you don't understand. You don't understand how the wind, where it comes from, where it goes to. You don't understand that. But you believe it. You know it happens. He's asking him to come by faith. You must be born again. Born of the Spirit. He understood being born once. He knew that, his physical birth. But spiritually born, he could not understand. Jesus did not take a long time explaining all the particulars, because he knew Nicodemus would never understand until he become a child of God. And so he went right to the gospel, and he told him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it continues in verse 18 once again. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus. Now, I want you to come to Jesus Christ. I want you to be saved, because I want this walk to begin. And this walk is an important walk. It's a walk that you need to have and to enjoy. But you know, too many times people start a walk. They're not even children of God. They've never come to the Lord Jesus. They've never trusted in the Lord Jesus. Here we're talking about to work out your own salvation. Many times people, in trying to be godly, their movement, their direction to be godly is a compromise. It is not a move towards being closer to God and His Word. They have taken what they know in their heart by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and they have set it aside because of things that are going on, because of activities, and they know better. They know better. Most of the time it's for their children, and that's so sad, because by them compromising the truth, the Word of God, they have set their children at the very claws and grasp of Satan. And they wanted the opposite. They desired the opposite. They wanted them to become more godly, more involved in the church. There's only one way that we can become more godly and more involved, and we need to be involved in the local church and be busy about His work there, working out our salvation. But in order to do that, you must be saved. You must be a child of God, come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And you must stop compromising. You must start walking, and you may be walking alone. You may find it very lonely to walk and believe the truth. But I'm here to tell you that your children will stay faithful to the Lord Jesus. Don't put a smoke screen up there. Those children can see through that. Yes, they love the activities, and if you pour those activities out to them, but if they're not of God, and if you've compromised to get them there, you're in trouble. I ask that you look to the truth, the Word of God. I ask that you keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus. I ask that you walk that way. It tells us here in the same verse, and we'll continue here next time. As always, we continue to run out of time. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Set it out there. Be serious about it. Be serious about the work that you're doing in the local church for Jesus Christ. Be serious about the work that that's going on in your heart to come closer to the Lord Jesus. Be very serious about it. And please, I ask you that you cannot be serious about it. You lack this fear and trembling if you have compromised. I ask you that you back away from that, that you set to the truth. You're going to upset people. Yes, you will. Some folks think that we're supposed to all get along. Everything, we just forget our differences and everything. That's not the Word of God. That's not the truth. We're to stand upon the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you that you're going to stand many times alone, because there's few that have stayed with the truth. The Word of God, saved by grace and grace alone. Please, my friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?